diagnosed with a medical challenge. We seem to be hearing it very regularly now and about more and more things. Have you been diagnosed with a medical challenge or a problem? Do you know somebody that you care about, that you love, that's in your family that has been diagnosed with? It seems that people are sharing with us more often, whether they're complete strangers or just acquaintances, I have been diagnosed with. And we often hear on a news story or in the newspaper, and now people are sharing on their Facebook or on their blogs or on their Instagram even, that they have been diagnosed with X medical challenge. And what do you do? It's one of those really awkward situations. If somebody shares with you that they have been diagnosed with a serious medical challenge, with a terminal illness, with a debilitating disease, what do you say and how do you deal with it? And then the all important big question is, if somebody says it to you, you're sick, or you've got a challenge, a big medical challenge or a small medical challenge. You've got the flu, you've got the cold, you've got the sore knee, you've got a broken leg. They're all diagnoses of a challenge. How do we deal with them? And it's interesting because obviously all human beings deal with things in different ways. Some people get stressed, some people laugh, some people get drunk, some people get angry, some people yell and scream, some people go really quiet, some people cry and get really upset. There's obviously the people that deal with it. There's a lot of people who live their lives where, okay, life's going to happen. Now I've got this challenge. What am I going to do about it? And if you're chatting to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or any kind of mental health expert, they'll share with you that there's all different kinds of ways that people deal with the information of you have been diagnosed with a medical challenge. As an exercise professional, it's something that I've dealt with every single day. Since the very first class that I ever taught as a group exercise instructor, then as a gym instructor, personal trainer, gym manager, I managed health clubs all over the world, so people shared their medical diagnosis with me in many different languages. Obviously, now that I have an international fitness business college and students and parents and people I talk to every day, every single day somebody shares with me that they have been diagnosed with, or somebody in their family has been diagnosed with, either minor or major medical challenge. I invest a lot of time in schools, chatting to school teachers and to school students. And more I'm being given information every single day at a rapidly increasing rate of our children who are being diagnosed with all sorts of medical challenges. Now, whether that be something as horrible as cancer or something as mind-challenging as mental health challenges, what do we do? And there's two things that are really interesting to me, and I have to deal with them every day because people share that stuff with me, and I'm sure that they share it with you too, because it seems like in every conversation, whether you're in a social group or a sporting event or at a wedding, somebody will say, I've got, and whether it's a sore knee or a sore back or a medical, internal medical challenge, or something horrible's happened in their family, like somebody's being diagnosed with cancer or a cardiovascular disease, what do you do about it? And being the ultimate positive person, I'm often criticized for the way I respond or react. And of course, we all get to choose how we respond or react. And it's kind of nobody else's business, really, how we do respond or react. What I have learnt the hard way, but I've learnt it, is from being involved in lots of first aid situations, critical first aid situations, life and death first aid situations, because obviously when you manage health clubs, there's accidents that happen and people have heart attacks and they have epileptic fits and they have challenges with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, they break bones, people have cuts and bruises and all sorts of things happen. So over my 30 plus years as an exercise professional, I've had to deal with a lot of critical first aid situations and many, really tough diagnosis situations when somebody's diagnosed with, you've got cancer and you're going to die in 6 weeks, or you've got cancer and you're going to die in 6 years, or you've got some kind of mental illness, and our children, where they're told you've got chronic depression, you've got glandular fever, you've got ADD, you've got anorexia, you've got a brain that doesn't work properly, so you're going to be challenged when you're at school. And I'm sharing all of these with you because when people share them with me, I was taught by the best first aid people in the world and the best psychologists and psychiatrists in the world that the best way to handle those situations is to be cool, calm, and collected, and with common sense. So it's, for me, it's always been the four C's. So if somebody ever shares with me that they've got a medical challenge or something horrible has happened in their life, I go straight to the four C's. It's a very conscious decision. I'd like to think that I now do it subconsciously because I've done it so many times. But I go straight to, okay, I have to be calm. I have to remain cool. Obviously, panic is never part of the solution. I have to remain collected, meaning I have to collect my thoughts, listen carefully to what this person is sharing with me, lean forward, maintain eye contact, open up my body language and actively listen so that I have no expressions of my face that look like I'm panicking. And then, of course, the common sense thing to do is this person's got to deal with something that's really tough. They definitely don't want to have to deal with me falling apart. And again, I will share with you, I've been taught that by the best in the world, that if somebody's got a big challenge in their life, one of the worst things that can happen is if everybody around them falls apart, panics, gets upset, stresses, cries, and loses control, then that person not only has to deal with the challenge that they're going through, but they have to deal with everybody else's way of reacting to it rather than responding. So I'm very privileged that I was taught that a long time ago, and it's something that I very much focus on, is Roa, you need to be cool, calm, and collected. And what's the common sense way to handle this? Which is, of course, I believe, with a positive attitude, because things happen. And again, I will share with you, this is not a weekly or monthly occurrence for me. This is every day. Every day somebody will share with me something from I've got sore feet to a sore back to I've been diagnosed with cancer or chronic fatigue or glandular fever or ADD or I'm dyslexic or I'm anorexic, and the list just keeps going on. And sadly, the number of people sharing that information seems to be getting bigger and bigger. So you get to decide, of course, how you deal with it. And I'm just sharing with you some of the best advice I've ever been given, which is to be cool, calm, and collected, and what's the common sense way to handle it. Now, the next really interesting thing is I'm sure that you've met people the same as I have who have been diagnosed with all sorts of things, and they either handle it in a very strong, tough, mentally tough way, and or they become better because of the challenge, or they understand that they can't change it, so they accept it and they move on really quickly. And there's people who have been diagnosed with things like cancer, for example, where a doctor, a top level medical professional, has said, you're going to die in 6 weeks, and 6 years or 16 years or even 60 years later, that person's still alive. One of my absolute classic stories for that is I was going through customs of all places in Melbourne Airport, and the gentleman in front of me had very gorgeous shoes on, and I always notice lovely things, so I made comment about his shoes. I said, they're fantastic shoes, how come you've got such great shoes? And he shared with me that he was speaking at a medical conference and he was a brain surgeon, literally. And I said, so what will you be talking about? And he said, well, and we had this really great conversation. He said, what I'm going to share with all the neuroscientists and the brain surgeons and the head doctors of the world is something that is very controversial, and they're likely to disagree with me. And he shared with me very openly at the Melbourne Airport that he was presenting on the fact that when a neurosurgeon, a brain surgeon, says to a patient, you're never going to walk again, he said, we've got to stop telling people that. Because our own patients keep proving us wrong. Our own patients, what people we've said, you're never going to walk again, walk out of the hospital. He said, we just have no understanding of how powerful the human brain is. And if somebody decides that they're not going to be paralyzed, he said, I can't explain to you why, because we look at their x-rays and we look at their medical report and we don't believe they're ever going to walk again, but they do. So I took on board from that conversation from my own personal experience that if anybody ever diagnosed me with anything, that I wasn't going to take that as gospel. I wasn't going to believe it because that the neuroscientist himself shared with me that too many people prove the medical professionals wrong. And I've met too many people who have been diagnosed with terminal illness who don't die. I've met too many people who have been diagnosed with anything from depression to back pain, and they live their lives in a very normal way because they've decided to. Now, I'm not saying that I've got the answer or the cure or the prevention or the treatment or any of that. I'm just sharing with you from personal experience that there are so many people that regardless of what medical challenge they have been diagnosed with, they refuse to live their life where that thing's going to be a hassle or a challenge. And even if they are going to die and they do die, and I've had so many people in my life like that where they've had a short period of time to live, but they really live. They don't cry. They don't get depressed. They don't get angry. They go and live that last part of their life with passion and enthusiasm and excitement because it's the only part that it's all they've got left. And I really have, I've watched people do that with such admiration and respect for the example they set for other people, for their own children, parents who know they're going to die, but they don't fall apart. They become even tougher and stronger, and they make the last part of their life so incredibly special. Another big lesson I was taught was one of my students. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor. She showed me the x-ray. The brain tumor was very large inside her head. Interestingly, they said that they couldn't operate because she was going to die in a very short period of time, and she lived they told her that it was imminent, that she was going to die very soon, within the next few days, and certainly no longer than a few weeks. And she lived for 2 years, and with passion and enthusiasm and excitement, and she spent that time, or invested that time, helping other people to be healthy, fit and strong, because she was an exercise professional. But she used to come to my house, and I'd say to her, "Chrissy, how come you're spending time with me? I'm so much older than you. Why would you want to come and hang out with me?" And because I really enjoyed her company. She's a very positive, gorgeous girl. And she said to me, "Roe, you're the only person in my life who doesn't treat me like a cancer victim. You're the only person who doesn't treat me like the girl with the brain tumor. Everybody else in my life falls apart, cries, can't cope with my brain tumor. And I'm the one with the brain tumor." She said, "I don't feel it. I don't know that it's there. I just want to live my life, laugh and love every day of my life, regardless of how many of those days that I've got left." And obviously she taught me so, so much. I have many students who have been diagnosed with things like dyslexia, for example. "You've got a learning disorder. You have a learning challenge. You're not going to be as good as everybody else." And they go on to become mega stars in business, in music, in sport. We seem to, if it's a diagnosis, that seems to be a negative word. And yet I've seen so many people turn that into a positive. One of the big things at the moment is being diagnosed as being obese or having type 2 diabetes or coronary heart disease. The big killer diseases that revolve around being inactive and having an unhealthy eating plan. However, now there's a lot of medical professionals who are getting angry about that. They're saying people can't help it. They can't help being fat. They can't help having type 2 diabetes. They can't help having coronary heart disease. And we should be very sympathetic of these people because it's not their fault. Now, I'm not going to argue with that comment or that statement, and that statement's been made by a lot of medical professionals. But I deal, at the other end, I deal with the people who say to me, "Roe, I've been told I've got type 2 diabetes, I'm obese, obviously I'm way overweight, I've got coronary heart disease, I'm depressed, I'm on all this medication, and I hate my life, what should I do?" But it's not my fault. The doctors told me it's not my fault. I've got some kind of genetic disorder. And one of the things that I've always done is let's go back to basics. And that's where the common sense part comes in. Let's be cool, calm and collected, and let's go back to common sense. If you have type 2 diabetes, so the insulin in your body's not working properly. If you have coronary heart disease, where again the experts are arguing, but you may or may not have clogged arteries caused by too much animal fat or too much food or too much sugar, and there's all of it, a big argument about which one it is. You might have been diagnosed with, yes, you're obese, but it's not your fault because you've got some kind of genetic challenge. Well, the common sense for me is always, well, we can't control what the doctor said. We can't control what the medical science are disagreeing on. What can we control? For you personally, what can we control? Now, let's have a look at the things that may or may not cause type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, being obese. Have you been looking after yourself at the 100% top level? Are you exercising on a regular basis so that you feel good? And I always focus on exercise as a, it's not about losing weight, burning calories, burn sugar, whatever the thing is about exercise. For me, it's about pumping happy drugs through your brain. When you sprint and when you lift heavy things, you now become the person who has re-energized brain cells. And not only can you re-energize the ones you've got, you can grow new ones. You can have neurogenesis. You can grow new brain cells. And the fastest and quickest way to do that is to get puffed and lift heavy. So my question is always, regardless of the medical challenge that you have, is it possible that if you're fit and strong and you're pumping happy drugs through your brain, that you'll be able to handle the situation better? So whether you've got cancer or you've had a stroke or you've got some kind of horrible debilitating terminal illness, is it possible that if you are fit and strong, you'll handle it better? Now, interestingly, no one argues on that, and even the top cancer experts in the world now are sharing that regardless of your cancer diagnosis, if you are fit and if you are strong, you'll handle even the chemotherapy better, which is really exciting. So with my clients, my students, the people that come to me with, Roe, you're really positive, please help me, I always go back to basics. So let's get you fit, let's get you strong. What are you eating? And no one's going to argue that if you put really crappy food into your body, it's unlikely that you're going to feel fantastic or that you're going to be healthy. And there doesn't seem to be too much argument. People argue about food all the time, but no one's suggesting that if you eat takeaway food 3 meals a day, 5 meals a day, and 7 days a week, and you just eat chocolate and lollies and ice cream and chips, and you drink a lot of alcohol, take a lot of drugs, and don't eat any food that has any vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, or fiber in it, that you're going to feel good. It doesn't seem to be an argument. So if we go back to the basics of, let's get you fit, let's get you strong, let's put some food into your body that makes you feel good rather than zaps your energy. And I always ask that question, if you were your own high performance eating and exercise coach, and now you know you've got cancer, or now you know you've got type 2 diabetes, or you've got glandular fever, or you've got been diagnosed with ADD, I always ask the same questions. Let's go back to putting your body into peak physical condition so it can handle whatever medical challenge you have to deal with. So let's get you fit, let's get you strong, let's put some high performance food into your body. The other really interesting one is being hydrated. And I dealt with this with my dad. My dad died of Alzheimer's, and often I'd visit him in the hospital and they'd say to me, oh, he's going to die. Today he's going to die. He's not going to last the day. And I would go and sit next to him, and one of his favourite drinks was non-alcoholic sparkling grape juice. And I would sit next to him and just with a straw just give him a drink, and I would literally watch his face come to life, and then his brain come to life, and then he would be great. He was just simply dehydrated. And I learned from that experience that often as humans we are dehydrated. Brain cells are 80-90% fluid, and if you're dehydrated, your brain controls everything, so you're going to feel pretty crappy. So again, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a medical professional. I like to be cool, calm and collected and use my common sense. So when anybody shares with me, Roe, I've got a medical challenge, I always go back to those basics. Are you fit? Are you strong? Are you putting high performance food into your body? Are you drinking enough so that you've got long clear wees, which is a great sign that you are hydrated? And let's make sure that those common sense things are in place. Because what seems to happen is the medical professionals are very happy to hand out very large numbers of pills. And particularly if you've been diagnosed with any of those terminal illnesses, there's a big lot of pills that come with those and antidepressants. Because obviously if somebody tells you you're going to die, it's likely that you're not going to feel particularly happy about that. So it seems that antidepressant drugs are quite easily and quite often in large amounts prescribed to help people who are going through a medical challenge. However, what's really exciting is that some of the top medical professionals in the world are now starting to use exercise as the happy drug. And I'll give you another great example. I was talking to a young girl just this week who has been diagnosed with chronic depression, and she's only 14, which I think is a really an interesting diagnosis, because I even asked her, what does that mean to you? And she said, it means I'm unhappy. I said, so what are you going to do about that? Do you want to be happy? And she said, yes. I said, so what's happening? And she said, oh, they've sent me to a psychiatrist. And I said, okay, tell me about that. And this is where the story gets really exciting. She shared with me that her psychiatrist hasn't put her on antidepressant drugs, even though it was the recommendation of another psychiatrist, another psychologist, and the general practitioner. This particular psychiatrist has put an app on this girl's phone, and every 20 minutes, she's got to get up and sprint on the spot or do some squat jumps or a skip rope or run up and down the hallway or just move her body so that she gets puffed for about 10 seconds. And I said, tell me about that. Keeping, obviously, I'm exploding with joy and excitement inside, but I didn't want to make this girl think that I'm judging her in any way, shape or form. So I just said, wow, tell me about that. And she said, well, the psychiatrist wants me to feel happy. And she said that when I get puffed, when I exercise, that I'll have happy drugs in my brain. Now, I don't think she used the word pumping, but I got so pumped to hear that. When you exercise, and I can't share this strongly enough because this is coming from the top neuroscientists in the world, there are lots of things that regenerate your brain cells and help you grow new brain cells. When you laugh, when you learn, when you meet new people, when you do new experiences, when you dance, when you have fun, your brain cells are regenerating and you're growing new ones. But nothing works as well as getting puffed and lifting heavy things, and nothing works as well as getting puffed. Now, the beautiful thing is, as we know, it takes about 10 to 15 seconds at the absolute most if you put an effort in to get puffed. So if you want to feel good, it's been suggested that you get up off your chair and you sprint on the spot, do some jump squats, skip rope, run up and down the hallway to pump happy drugs through your brain. What was so exciting for me is that's now coming from a psychiatrist. So I'm sharing all of this with you because it seems that this challenge is going to get worse. There are more people being diagnosed with more medical challenges every single day, and we get to decide how we respond or react to the diagnosis. So, and I'll use a simple example. The physio or the doctor says you've got a broken leg, so you shouldn't exercise. You don't have to take that diagnosis. If you've got a broken leg, you've got another leg, two arms and a whole body, you can still stay really, really fit. And the top exercise physiologists in the world will share with you that if you stay really fit and strong, even though you've got a broken leg, you can't use that leg. But the fact that you're stimulating your central nervous system on a daily or multiple times throughout the day, that you're less likely to have atrophied muscle and bone, you're less likely to waste your muscle and bone away on your broken leg because you're still getting massive circulation of vitamins, minerals and phytochemicals through your body. So I get really excited when I hear all of that stuff, because you don't have to accept it when somebody says you're sick, you're injured, you're going to die. You actually don't have to accept that, because I've got so many examples of people who haven't accepted that. They've said, that's not me, that's not going to happen to me. And even if it is going to happen to me, I'm going to live my life in a way that I'm excited to live every day, not miserable because I've been diagnosed with. And I get, and I now on a daily basis, because people share with me every day, I'm sharing this great information. Get fit, get strong, eat high performance food, make sure you've got a body that's completely hydrated. And obviously the biggest one is the positive attitude. Every single person that I've met, who I've had experiences with, who have overcome a challenge or they've dealt with the challenge more effectively, are the people who don't fall down in a heap, get really upset about what's going on. They accept the fact that it's happened because they can't change it, but they do whatever's possible to have a positive attitude about it. So they watch happy movies, they listen to happy songs, they exercise, they spend time with positive people rather than negative ones, and it seems that those people recover quicker, they handle the situation better because they've decided to. So I love the fact that we've got a choice. And I go back to my neurosurgeon, my brain surgeon from the Melbourne airport. Something as severe, as critical as "you're never going to walk again," directly from his mouth, he said, "We have to stop telling people that they're never going to walk again because too many people are proving us wrong." And I think that's really exciting. Now, however you deal with your situation or the situation of people in your life is obviously completely up to you. But just be aware that we do have a choice. We get to decide whether we get angry or whether we turn that negative experience into a positive one. Last but not least, a very special person in my life at the age of 16 lost his sight. And he's now a professional speaker who shares with teenagers that he can't change the fact that he's blind, but he can certainly change the fact that he can respond or react in a way that he wants to. And he's not a helicopter pilot. He's a professional speaker who shares that great message with people. So there's some things we have absolutely no control of and we can't change, but we get to choose how we respond or react to them. And I always think about Benny every time I look at something beautiful, I think about Ben, who can't see anymore, but he's still got a happy smiley face and he's doing very special things with his life. Every time somebody shares with me that they're going to die from a terminal illness, I'm very aware that positive, happy people can be very annoying, but I'm also aware that you don't have to accept that diagnosis. There are too many people that have proved that wrong. Now, whether you've been told that you're dyslexic or you've got ADD or ADHD or you've got glandular fever or you've got cancer or you're going to have a stroke or any of those things, those diagnoses are an opinion from somebody else. And it's interesting because the medical professionals disagree all the time. They have differences of opinion all the time. So you don't have to accept somebody else's opinion. It doesn't have to be yours. You can decide how you live your life on a day-to-day basis, regardless of the diagnosis. So I like, in fact, I'll rephrase, I love the idea that if you go back to basics and just get your body healthy, fit and strong, make sure that you're exercising on a regular basis, eating high performance food, make sure that you've got a hydrated body, long clear wheeze, and make sure you have a positive attitude. And there's two things that happen there. Number one, you are much less likely to get a debilitating disease and get the diagnosis that you are sick. If you do get sick and your body is already in that kind of shape, you'll be able to handle the situation better. So whether it's something as horrible as cancer, or you have some a horrible joint disease, or you've broken a leg, if your body is fit and strong to start with, you'll be able to handle that situation better. You'll recover quicker. It's less likely to happen to you in the first place. And most importantly, we all get to choose how we live every day. And if we are healthy, fit and strong, if we have a positive attitude, if we're putting high performance food into our body and we're hydrated, is it likely that a lot of those challenges won't be challenges, or we'll be able to handle them so much better? And if you're not sick and you haven't been diagnosed with any kind of medical challenge, what an amazing life you will live. And as you know, I get accused every single day, "Roe, you can't be so happy all the time." Well, let me share with you that I've worked with and experienced people who have got cancer, who have got a terminal illness, who have been diagnosed with all sorts of horrible things, but their body's healthy, fit and strong. They put high performance food into their body. They're hydrated and they've got a positive attitude, and they live their life happy every single day. And is it possible that that could be a choice? Woohoo!